John 10:11-18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down for myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father.
This is the gospel of Christ. Hello, how is everyone today? Good. Good to see you all. We make some room for the bigger ones. We got room for Mackenzie. There we go. Today's our anniversary. We're 61 years old. What do we do on an anniversary? What makes it so special? You guys celebrate anniversaries? You're not even 12. No, 61 years was a long time ago from someone who's 12, wasn't it? But there are people out here who are older than 61. And you know what? What?
From Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Jesus knocks down the people.
Jesus knocks down the people? Jesus loves the people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are some people here today who were at the very first church service that St. James Rosemount had 61 years ago. And you know how we can tell who they are? How do you think we can tell who they are?
They have the corsages on their chest.
They do have the corsages on the chest. Look at them sitting in the front rows. Do you guys know who these folks are? They are the ones that started this church. We have Gord and Shirley Double, we have Maisie Evers, and we have Ken Sellers, Sr. Welcome. We are so glad that you're here and with us. So I have a question for you four who are here. Why did you start this church?
There was a need in the neighborhood for a church. We all had to go downtown to Trinity.
Ah.
So we decided that because we had a school, we needed a church.
We needed a church, yeah. And why do we need a church? Maybe you guys can answer some of those questions. Why do we need a church, Emma? Jesus takes care of the church. We need a church so we can talk about Jesus. We need a church so we can listen to what Jesus has to say to us.
Yeah?
Nigel, why do we need a church? To be with God. Well, that's true, to be with God in a special way. We can be with God anywhere. But when we come into a church, we're with God in a special way. We're here to learn about Jesus and God. We're here. Why else do we need a church? Maureen. For community, we need a church for people. We need a church so that we have people whom we know, who we can love and who can love us back, who can challenge us and who can make us grow and think and learn about God, all of those things. Any other reasons why we need a church?
Potluck suppers.
Potluck food. We need to eat together. When you, the second stage of intimacy is food. Just in case you didn't know, we talk to people, but then the next thing we do with them is we eat with them, and that means we've entered into a level of trust. It's really, and we're going to do that. If you haven't already been asked, we're going to eat together after worship today, so please, everybody, come downstairs and, yummy, have some lunch together and enter into that next stage of intimacy where we're a little bit closer with each other and having a little bit of a deeper relationship with each other. Because you know the other reason why we need a church? Because we can be real Sometimes when we're out in the world, we pretend to be somebody that we're not. We pretend that we're big and brave and strong. But sometimes we just need to come and be ourselves. And this is one of those places that we can do that. Because we know that we will be loved, we know that we will be accepted, and we know that God is here. And that's one of the many reasons why we need to be a church. And so we can say thank you to these people who had the foresight and the vision 61 years ago to come together to create this. The building looked quite a bit different than it does now. And they've grown over the years, and other people have come and joined them. And this place has been transformed. And now we, the ones that are here now, we are the ones that get to move this into the future, to figure out what God is calling us to do now, to figure out whether the building needs to have some changes, to figure out what we need to be doing to share the good news and God out in the world. That's what our challenge is now as the people of St. James Rosemount of 215. So you guys are going, the littler ones are going to Sunday school with Jan, and the older ones are staying with us today, and you're going to help us during the sermon time. Yes, it's a surprise. Surprise. But before we do that, we're going to have a prayer together. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the people who started it. And the people who are here today. We ask you to bless us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We listen to God's word and offer the prayer of illumination. The scripture this morning is from Acts 4, verses 5 to 12, from the Message. The next day, a meeting was called in Jerusalem. The rulers, religious leaders, religious scholars, Annas, the chief priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, everybody who was anybody was there. They stood Peter and John in the middle of the room and grilled them. Who put you in charge here? What business do you have doing this? With that, Peter, who was full of the Holy Spirit, let loose. Rulers and leaders of the people, if we have been brought to trial today for helping a sick man, put us under investigation regarding this healing. I'll be completely frank with you. We have nothing to hide. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one you killed on the cross, the one God raised from the dead, by means of his name, this man stands before you healthy and whole. Jesus is the stone you masons threw out, which is now the cornerstone. Salvation comes to no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this one. This is the word of God.
Sermon time this morning is going to be a little bit different. Although I will be speaking, this is also a time for you as a congregation to process. To process what it means to be celebrating another year of being this congregation. It's a time to look back into where you've been, but not looking back for nostalgia's sake. To see the foundation, to look back to see the foundation from where we grew. The church is not only about who we were, it's about who we are now and where we are going. It's about hearing the call of God and following it. We've spent some time already in who we were. We listened to scripture read by Clayton in the King James Version of the Bible. How many of you, when you were growing up, that's all you ever heard when you came to church, the King James Version of the Bible? Yeah. It shifted for me while I was sort of midway through my younger years, and I have a hard time listening to the King James Version. For those who hear it all the time, it's poetry. But for some of us who don't hear it all the time, it's confusing. And then we listened to Anne when she was speaking out of the Message. And the Message is a modern-day paraphrase of the Bible, and it the language shifts, and it's different, and it gives a different understanding to what we're listening to. We sang an old hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. It was written in the early 1800s. It's over 200 years old. When I was growing up in the 60s, this was the hymn that we began each service with. I see people nodding heads. Is this your memory as well? The United Church in the 60s and the 70s? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We prayed the prayer that was used at the first ever service of the United Church of Canada on June the 8th, 1925 in Toronto. We said good morning and recognized the work that our wonderful charter members have done 61 years ago. That's a part of who we were. These are our foundations. And out of faith in Jesus Christ and the vision of the charter members, we came to build a church. And with the commitment of others that joined along the way, we've arrived at this place, St. James 2015. In the Acts reading, people are gathered around Peter. They are wondering how he got to where he was and what this brand new organization that is forming around him is all about. This is the fledgling Christian church. The people are wondering how it came to be, what it stemmed from, where Peter got his authority, where Peter gets his abilities. And Peter is sharing today everything, how everything is from Jesus. The one that was rejected, said Peter, that is to say, the one that everyone dismissed, that's what the church is being built on. This Jesus movement that everyone assumed died on the cross with Jesus, this Jesus movement, says Peter, is alive and well and growing and flourishing because of who Jesus was, what he taught, and who he was now. Because of what God has done, the church was becoming. Because of what God was done in Jesus Christ, the church becomes. This is our foundation, and Jesus is the cornerstone. So here we are, 2,000 years later, still grounded in that same tradition, with Jesus as our cornerstone. Our faith has brought us here. And so the question is now, where to from here? What are we called to do and be now? So for the next few minutes, we're going to think about this. And the kids are going to help us do that. They're going to make some pictures and draw some things on some bricks. We're going to look into our future. We're going to focus on the words of the hymn from More Voices United. It's hymn number one, Let Us Build a House. And we have 50 new copies, thanks to the Gifts Memorials Committee on our pews this morning. So if anybody would like to follow along, the words that we're going to talk about today are verse one, Let Us Build a House. So I'm going to begin by reading aloud the words of each of the verse, and invite the kids to put pictures and words and drawings on the cornerstones as we have a little bit of a conversation about what these words mean for us. Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live, a place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive, built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Describing a church where love can dwell is a wonderful image. And I imagine that this was part of the original foundings of this congregation. Although it may not have been in your original vision statement, if vision statements were even part of what happened in the conversation 61 years ago, a group of people gathered together in the Archer's living room to talk about building a church. I can only imagine what motivated them. A desire for a local church, a place to hear the word of God, a place to bring their children to learn about Bible stories, a place for the community to gather, a church home built of hopes and dreams and visions. That's what this place has been for the last 61 years. A church begins in love. A love that we have for God, the love that God has for us, the love that we have for each other. But sometimes when a group of people get together and after some time has passed and challenges come along or ideas about how things should be shift, you begin to realize that the people that you formed the group with are not who you maybe thought they were. Conflict happens. It's inevitable. It happens in every group and every organization. And the hopes and dreams and visions sometimes get lost, or they change, or they shift. But God is still there. And God still has many, many hopes and dreams and visions for St. James. We have encountered conflict in this place. And we've had many of people. We've had people leave because of the conflict. We've had people come in the midst of conflict. We'd have people come and stay, and more conflict has arisen. Many of our founding members are no longer with us. But God is not done with us yet. We live into hope. Maybe now is the time when we need to find a new vision, dream a new dream, and live into the hope of Jesus. You will notice that the place of beginning is in safety and forgiveness in the words of this hymn. It's a place of recognizing that we all are human in our frailties and our vulnerabilities. We are all flawed and we all fail, for that is what it is to be human. But this place is our place of forgiveness. This place is God's place, built on the hopes and dreams and visions of those charter members 61 years ago, where all are welcome. In spite of our flaws and our failings, in spite of the conflicts and divisions, this church has for its foundations the rock of faith and is a vault of grace. And forgiveness is possible and healing can happen. And we can be safe and assured that God is here and we are all welcome and that we are the hopes of the future and the dreams and visions which we live into. And Nolan is too. Let us build a house where prophets speak and words are strong and true, where all God's children dare to seek to dream God's reign anew. Here the cross shall stand as witness, as the symbol of God's grace. Here, as one, we claim the faith of Jesus. All are welcome. All are welcome. All are welcome in this place. So who are our prophets today? Back in Jesus' day, it was easier to tell. The reading from Acts has Peter proclaiming the word. He is a prophet. He's in prophet mode, speaking today about God into the situation that he is in, with Caiaphas and Aeneas standing there witnessing to what Peter has to say. He's in prophet mode as a group of people gather around him to hear what he has to say and question and receive the answers from Peter about God and what God is doing and the authority that Peter speaks out of. But the world has changed a lot in 2,000 years, and prophets are often hard to distinguish. Our culture has used the word prophet as someone who predicts the future, and we have seen so many false prophets that we are suspicious of people proclaiming to be prophets. And yet in the church, when we use the word prophet, we mean it to describe someone who speaks for God. Our church is based on prophets. It relies on prophets to remind the people who we are and whose we are and to whom we belong and how God wishes us to be in the world and what and where God is calling us to go. We are God's people. And a prophet calls us to remember what that means and how we are to live into the world as God's people. Our culture has prophets. Our prophets are people like David Suzuki, reminding us that the planet that we live on is fragile and sacred and needs to be cared for and protected. Our prophets are like the Dalai Lama, who speaks to the world about peace and tolerance and forgiveness. Who have been the prophets in this church over the ages? Have you been able to listen to them, or have you forced them out? Who are the prophets that are in our midst today? Are you a prophet? Do you have a message from God that you need to share with us? Or am I your prophet? Do I have a message from God that you need to hear? How do you think God is speaking to us today? Because I can guarantee you that God is speaking to us today. Just as God was speaking to the founding members 60 years ago, sometimes we have a hard time hearing, though. Sometimes the voice of God is drowned out by the noise of our culture, telling us that churches are businesses and have bottom lines and should be making a profit, the money kind, not the person kind. Sometimes the voice of God is drowned out by fear. The fear of the unknown, the fear of we've never done it that way before, Or the fear of, we tried it once, but it didn't work. Or, if we do that, then so-and-so will be unhappy and they will leave, and we don't want to rock the boat. Sometimes the voice of God is eclipsed by lack of courage. Lack of courage to take the first step to shift the way we do things. Sometimes the voice of God is not responded to because, of what I think is often the surest way to silence the voice of the prophet, that is of kindness. If we do that, then that person will get upset and then they might leave. We don't want to do that, so we're too kind, and so therefore the voice of the prophet and the will of God gets lost in kindness. Shifting would upset people, so let's not do that. And another prophet silencer is the mighty dollar, or should I say the perceived lack of the mighty dollar, where ministry is stopped in its tracks often before ideas even get fleshed out, because where will the money come from? So what is God saying about this place, to this church, to you, this congregation? What do you think God wants from us as individuals, as a congregation, as a community, as a nation? How does God want us to live? How does God want us to care? How does God want us to share ourselves and our resources and the good news? What does God's dream for St. James look like now in 2015? Who are the voices that are urging us forward? God is still speaking. Are we listening? Who are we called to welcome in this place? Let us build a house where love is found in water, wine, and wheat, a banquet hall on holy ground where peace and justice meet. Here the love of God through Jesus is revealed in time and space. As we share in Christ the feast that frees us, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Sacrament is the outward sign of inward grace. That is to say, it is God getting into the world in a tangible way, through the water of baptism, through the food and the wine and the bread of communion. God gets into the world, and we are welcomed, and we are nourished, and we are fed. Sacrament has the ability to level the playing field, because it reminds us that every single time that we partake, it does not matter your gender. It does not matter your social status. It does not matter whether you are white or black or green or pink. It does not matter whether about your sexual orientation, and it does not matter about your gender identity. Baptism and communion are open to everyone. A banquet hall, a holy ground where peace and justice meet. That's a pretty big idea. That sacred space that provides a place where all of our cultural divides are broken down. Are we that? Is this the place where all are welcome? So if someone wandered in off the street who looked a little lost, or maybe smelt a little bit, possibly came with their hand out begging for money, would we be able to open our arms and welcome them in? What if someone from another country wandered through these doors, speaking a language we do not understand, requesting help from us, a place of sanctuary, a need to negotiate the complex government bureaucracies of refugees and immigrants? Would we welcome them in? And if someone showed up who had a mental illness and their behavior was disruptive and their demeanor was off-putting and their needs were great, how open is our table? How free is this font? Sacrament is the ability to look beyond all the outward trappings and see the person as God sees the person, to look at another through the eyes of God. The love of God through Jesus is revealed in time and space. That moment when the water hits the forehead, when the bread is eaten and the juice is drunk, every one of us is connected to our Creator in that moment, and that's what makes it a sacrament. It's a pretty radical idea that goes against the teachings of our society, which places value on status and wealth and the number of toys that we have in our garages, or even that we have a garage. When all are welcome, No one is better or more special or more privileged. When all are welcomed, everyone has the same status, everyone has the same privilege, everyone, regardless of age, stage, color, or creed, every single one are welcome. As we look forward to whom God is calling us to welcome into this place, are we willing to be open to receive them? Are we able to make room in our pews, to open up the doors of our committee rooms, to open up our ears and be willing to make the shifts that it requires to welcome others into our midst? For what new people bring are new ideas and new ways of doing things. Are we willing to let go of who we think we are and allow the space to become something new because we have opened up our table and our font and our church and our hearts and allowed others to reshape them? Are all welcome in this place? Let us build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and live the word they've known. Here the outcast and the stranger bear the image of God's face. Let us bring an end to fear and danger. All are welcome. All are welcome. All are welcome in this place. Sometimes it's hard to remember that what we do on Sunday morning is only a small part of what it means to be the church. Yes, worship is important, and so is prayer and hearing scripture and singing our hymns and listening to the word, all very important. But it's supposed to be that time when we use to sustain and garner strength so that we can then go out into the world and live through the week as God would have us live it. That is to say, our worship space and time is our grounding place, the place to find our strength and courage and inspiration, and then to go from this place to serve God, to reach out to others, to share the good news in word and in deed, to share the love of Christ with everyone that you meet, to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, to live the word that Jesus taught, to love God with all our hearts and all our minds and all our souls, and to love ourselves and to love others as well, to go out from this place and love. Love is a pretty powerful thing. It has the ability to change our world. It has the ability to change the world around us. When we look at the world through the eyes of love, things shift and things change. All of a sudden, something that may have caused anguish and grief has a new perspective when seen through the eyes of love. Love is powerful enough for us to forgive. Love is powerful enough for us to change our minds and therefore change the world. Paul had it right when he was writing to the 1 Corinthians 2,000 years ago. Love changes everything. Paul was writing to a church in conflict, talking about how they were called to live in community together. He was telling them about how each member of the congregation had an important role to play, but none was more important than the other. He used the metaphor of body, how the ear is not better than the leg or the kidneys. It's just different and just as important. And then he spoke of gifts from God to help build a church. And again, all important, but none better than the other. And then he talks about love and how love is what makes it all work. And how love is the primary force of everything coming together. All the gifts, all the different people, love brings it all together. The love of God, the love that we have for God, the love that we have for each other, everything hinges on it. Patient, kind, not rude or boastful, love that never ends. This is what we should be striving for in church, a love that never ends. A love perspective that allows us to see the outcast and the stranger as a vital part of who we are. And that outcast and that stranger are the ones who bear the image of God's face. And when we open ourselves up to care for them and love them as God loves us, then we are transformed. And God gets in, and all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where all are named, their songs and visions heard, and loved and treasured, taught and claimed as words within the word. built of tears and cries and laughter, prayers of faith and songs of grace. Let this house proclaim from floor to rafter, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. So here we are, verse 5. Last week we put verse 5 in the bulletin and offered you an opportunity to be heard, to share your thoughts about the vision of this congregation, where we are going, who we are reaching out to, how we are to move into our future. So I'd like to take a couple of minutes now, as the next layer of bricks is being made, for you to speak your truth into this time and space this morning. What's in your hearts as we open ourselves up to how God is leading us into the future? I'm inviting you to speak your truth into this moment. Does anyone have a word or a thought or a phrase that's running through your minds right now about what we're called to do and be all of?
I feel love the minute I open the door.
You feel love the minute you open the door. What a wonderful gift to continue on in this congregation, a place of feeling love. Anyone else have any hopes and dreams and visions for this place?
Faith.
Faith in hope. One of the cornerstones of who we are. Our faith. We wouldn't be here without our faith. Norma.
I see cooperation, communication, and confirmation as our mission for the future.
Cooperation, confirmation, communication. A sea vision for the future. Lovely. The song band, go now in peace, never be afraid. God will be with us each hour of every day. John.
I'm quoting a famous saying, we should all aspire to inspire before we expire.
Did you catch that? Inspire. She didn't make it up, but you brought it into this moment. That's wonderful. Thank you, Joan. I love that. The word community brings tears to our eyes. When we are deeply touched, that's what comes out, right, is our tears. It's a really good marker. There's a wonderful Jewish story about little glass bubble balls that you keep on your mantelpiece, and you know that God is in your midst when the ball is filled. You put your tears inside this ball, and you know how much God is in your life by the amount of tears that are in this jar. Doreen. Yeah, that openness to go where God is calling us now and leaving behind the pieces of ourselves that no longer work and moving into a new way, I think that's going to be paramount as we make the steps into the future. Jim?
Thankfulness.
Gratitude. Absolutely. Theology of gratitude. It's really a foundational, fundamental point. Ed? And being an example for. Yes. So it's really walking the talk. Walking the talk. Being integral, being authentic in who we are and what we're called to do and be. Maureen?
Being welcome and open to our youth and the ideas and differences they bring.
Yeah. The next generations, the generations, they're the ones that have insights that we could never have imagined. And being open to hear them and then being open to follow them takes a lot of courage. We so often say the youth are our future, but actually the youth are our present. If we don't have them in the present, there is no future. We need to be in the midst of all ages and stages. We have wisdom at all ages and stages that we need to remember. This church was built with people of all ages and stages. And everyone from Nolan's conversation in the middle of the sermon to the oldest member here has something of value to say to us today. So how does this house, this church, St. James Rosemount, proclaim from floor to rafter that we are welcome and that others are welcome? I think you named a lot of that today. We proclaim that God is here, that we are God's people, that this is God's place, and this is how we love God, by being this church. All are welcome in this place. As the wall continues to be built, we will sing our next hymn, which is number 509, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, to remind ourselves that we each are called to be a part of this church of ours. And now we pray. And we have people in our hearts and on our minds whom we need to hold up in prayer today. We need especially to remember the people in Tibet and Nepal, over 2,300 dead at last count. So we need to remember to hold all those who mourn the loss of family and friends in this devastating earthquake. But we also hold people in our hearts whom we can name. Whom do we need to hold up in our prayers this morning? Sorry?
Gladys.
Bill. Let us pray. Gracious, loving, and holy God, gather us into this moment and into this time of prayer as we come before you now as a grateful people. Grateful for this congregation and the love that has poured forth for the last 61 years. Grateful for all the ways in which your will has been done and your word has been known. Grateful for all the ministry that this congregation has done over those past 61 years. Holy God, as we move forward into the next 61 years, we pray that you guide us, that we follow you, that we find our vision and our ministry from your word, that we listen and are able to hear our prophets, that we find the courage that we need to let go of what we must to go forth into our future. Holy God, we recognize that we live in this time of when the world is a big and scary place. There are so many issues in the world that sometimes they seem overwhelming. We live in a world where your creation is being hurt and maimed and sometimes completely obliterated and with no chance of repair. And so, gracious God, we pray for our planet. We pray for your creation, the abundance and beauty and richness of your amazing creation. We hold it up. And we pray, gracious God, that you teach us how to love and care for this earth as you love and care for this earth, how to love and care for its creatures as you love and care for its creatures. Holy God, the human creature has grown and grown and grown, and there are now over 7 billion of us on this earth. And sometimes we do not treat each other well, and sometimes we are not kind to each other, and sometimes our own needs and desires and wants are all that we care about. And so, gracious God, we hold before you some of those places where there are people who are hurting, some of those situations where love is struggling to get in. So may you be in those places, loving God. May you be in those places of war and violence. We pray especially for the Ukraine and for Syria and for the Middle East and for all the places where ISIS is. We pray, gracious God, for your will to be done and your love to be known and peace to come. We pray for those places on earth that are hurting. We think especially of the people in Tibet and Nepal as they come out from underneath the devastations of these earthquakes. We pray for all those who have lost their lives and all those who have lost loved ones. We pray, gracious God, for all the situations in the earth and in the world that are difficult, where May your peace come, may your will be done, and may your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Holy God, as we turn our thoughts towards home and people we know, we pray for the unrest in our nation, in our province, as teachers and students have negotiations right now. We pray for our family, our friends, and our loved ones who rest in our hearts. We ask your blessing with Marion and Peter and Ray, with Jackie and Maria and Helen, with Ivy and Grant and Gladys and Barbara and Bill. We pray for all those who are grieving, and we pray for the Justison family and the Cressman family. We pray for all those who are struggling with health, those who are nearing their death, and we ask your blessing to be with all of us who accompany them. We hold before you in a moment of silence everything on our hearts. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Ever gracious God, you call people from near and far into the fellowship of our church. Building upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, upon Jesus Christ and our companion and Lord, and upon all the saints who have gone before us, we give you thanks for 61 years of church life. We give you thanks for all in our midst today. Continue to watch over this congregation, we pray. Disturb our complacency. Fill it again and again and again and again with your Spirit. Deepen our faith and our relationship with you, so that we might continue to be faithful co-workers with you, that all the world might see and praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our head and our cornerstone. Amen.